Anybody feeling useless today after staying up till 1 a.m. watching baseball?
I'm dragging a bit.
I'm feeling great. Let's go 18 again tonight.
Somebody texted in and asked if it went long. If it went long, what would happen? And that was my comment. If it goes long, Jamie will be there right to the bitter end. And I'm going to bed at 9 tonight.
I think it was Tony. Tony? Because Tony said, yeah, I'm with you, Locker. I'll be going to bed too.
You are a night owl.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Let's go 19 tonight. Let's break a record. Let's see what craziness unveils. Because Dave Roberts did say it would have been Miguel Rojas pitching the 19th inning.
That's interesting. Here's my thing.
If Yamamoto wasn't able to go, it would have been Rojas that was pitching that one. Okay, a lot more coming up on baseball. We're getting a lot of texts. Should you or should you not just walk Ohtani every time he comes to the plate? But let's flip over to football. CFL playoffs start on Saturday. TSN's Matthew Schenetti will be the sideline reporter for the playoffs. Of course, sideline reporter in Saskatchewan. You said some glowing things about the province, about the stadium, about the fans. Clearly, Matthew, you can just be honest with us and say that Saskatchewan is your favorite spot to be a sideline reporter.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny, Jamie. Good to talk to you. When I arrived in Regina, I thought that something Zach Caleros had done a month earlier might actually get me in a bit of trouble with Rider fans, because I hadn't been to Princess Auto Stadium in 7 years, you know, since the 2015, or just after the 2015 Grey Cup. I did some games there in 2016 and 2017. And I said to Caleros just how much I, you know, appreciated just how great the building was and the atmosphere. And then in my post-game interview, Caleros, without me prompting him, looked at me and said, "Well, Matt, you said this is the best place to watch a game in the country. And if you go back," I looked at him and I'm just like, "Easy, buddy," because he knew I told him that I was going to Regina a few weeks after, and I thought that I'd be coming off the just walking to the stadium there and getting all kinds of guff from Rough Rider fans. So it didn't happen, but I'll say this: that was special to walk from the low. I usually love to do this. I just love to walk from the loading dock into the stadium. It's one of the perks of the job where I just kind of feel. I just love the energy of a place, how big things can feel. You know, shout out to Craig Reynolds for giving me a tour of New Mosaic. It's a special place that you guys have out there. It's the best stadium in the country with respect to how it looks, just the feel of it. When you're on the field to look around, it just makes the league feel what it should always feel, which is big. But it was special, and I understand it now. Yeah, as I said in that tweet, you don't understand the connection between the team, the city, and the province until you actually see it in person. And now I can say I 100% get it.
And I came from another market as well. I've only been here a year, Matthew, and that was one of the things that I said when I got here is that, oh, hold on, this is a football stadium. It feels like a place you go to watch and play football. And so, yeah. So I appreciate the fact that you take a moment to kind of soak in your environment. So thank you for that story. Matthew.
Yeah. And just very quickly, I'll finish my point off of this. What I also want to say is the community around the Riders, the people who work in the stadium, the people, the volunteers. Craig was very kind to show me and introduce me to people. It is not exclusive, certainly, to Saskatchewan. It is true of Manitoba and Alberta and western parts of our country. But the sense of community and loyalty to one another is something that made a really good impact on me. So that, I just wanted to say that too.
And maybe Jamie, that's why the West keeps getting the Grey Cups.
Yeah, we'll see you back here in 2027 for a Grey Cup.
Can't wait.
All right, let's jump into the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Matthew. Been a kind of a whirlwind season for the Blue, and I wonder if this is the biggest mystery of the four teams going into the semis this weekend.
I like how you said the word mystery, because given how many times I've seen the Bombers this year from the team that seemingly can't find a way to get a result in Southern Ontario or struggles to the team who sold out who has sold out 14 straight games and absolutely ran right over the Ticats, as I mentioned just a few weeks ago, to the team that squeaked out a win against some of the backups, some of the Riders' backups. I don't know what team we're going to get. Mystery is an excellent word to use, but ultimately, I know that Davis Alexander and the Montreal Alouettes are full of confidence hosting a playoff game, given how well they have played over the last month and a half. But the Bombers coming over, crossing over, seems just like a perfect scenario for what I think we're starting to see might be the final chapters of this. I think we can call it a dynasty. And it's time is undefeated. And certainly when you've had an historic run as the Bombers have had over the last half decade, at some point the rest of the league and time catches up with you. But now that they're going to over to the East bracket, knowing all of the major players, Brady Oliveira, certainly Nick Dembski is dealing with a hamstring injury right now, but Willie Jefferson, to know Zach Caleros that I have over his career, they will be primed for a run like this. And they played well in Montreal a few months ago, and I remember talking to Brady about it, and he said, people go ahead and make a mistake counting us out. That's at their peril. So I've been kind of describing it as a bit of a street fight, but I can imagine that when the Bombers go to Percival Molson Stadium this weekend, we're going to see the best out of them, because there's just something about this Mike O'Shea team come playoff time. They reach another level. It's the reason why they've been to 5 straight great cups.
Matthew Schenetti with a preview of the East semifinal. Bombers crossover, take on the Montreal Alouettes. And, of course, the story in Montreal, a 7-0 record with Davis Alexander, but he has yet to start a playoff game. This is his first playoff start, and he's going up against Zach Caleros, who's gone to 6 Grey Cups, 1 with Hamilton, and then, of course, 5 with the Bombers. Who has the advantage at quarterback, Matthew?
Ooh, Jamie, that's a tough one. And I can tell you, if you look at Davis Alexander's social media, as soon as he knew the Winnipeg Blue Bombers were crossing over and coming to Montreal, he certainly liked a few Bombers tweets and some few CFL tweets about that fact. If you're Davis Alexander, how could you not feel as excited as anyone in that position, given how well he has played as a starter, given his physical capabilities, and just given what he does to the Alouettes team? If you look, the Alouettes, especially on defense, obviously have so many offensive weapons. But if you look at just the way when we talk about chemistry, things you can't measure in numbers, Davis Alexander injects that into the Alouettes team every time he starts. You can just see it's that moxie, athleticism. He's got a bit of an edge too. If you have, being on the sidelines alongside Davis Alexander, the refs have to tell him to stop chirping other teams because he does not stop talking. But I can tell you, when you talk about edge, I'm looking over at Zach Caleros, given the resume that you laid out, and to say nothing of the MOPs that that he also has in his cabinet as well, and the ample experience that he has accumulated since 2019 and going over to Winnipeg. This is the kind of scenario, knowing Caleros used to be a young, upstart, talented quarterback with his future in front of him, like Davis Alexander, Zach Caleros will relish this matchup. This matchup right here is two quarterbacks who make their money being athletic, being physical, and absolutely going to defenses and saying, "Try me. I will absolutely give you my best," and I fully expect that. And I know I'm kind of dancing around the question, but I'm giving the edge to Zach Caleros only because of the ample experience he has. But my goodness, Davis Alexander is ready for this.
Matthew Schenetti, more with Matthew, including a look at the overall Montreal Alouettes and how meaningful and how important these playoffs could be for your quarterback, Trevor Harris, and the Rough Riders, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Coming up, to walk or not to walk, Shohei Ohtani. Let us know what you'd do if you're John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays. But Locker, let's keep it going with Matthew Schenetti on an East Division semifinal preview.
Jamie, if I'm not mistaken, you've kind of been on the Montreal Alouettes bandwagon from the beginning of the season.
I have them in the Grey Cup. I picked them at the start of the season to be in the Grey Cup. I actually picked Davis Alexander to win the league MOP this year at the start of the season.
Some injuries.
And if he didn't get injured, well, he might be that. But, yeah, I still have the Alouettes in the Grey Cup, 100%.
So, as a roster as a whole, I mean, obviously, Zach can be dangerous. The Blue Bombers can be dangerous. They're looking to make history here by being the first team to cross over. But is this a Grey Cup roster for Montreal?
Ooh, that's an excellent question, too. I mean, you just have to look at the coaching staff, and you have to look at every single way the Alouettes have been successful this season. Taking, as you said, Davis Alexander Elevate, you can certainly see the ample weapons they have. Although the run game has not been as consistent as they might have wanted it, but you look at Snead, Cole Speaker, Austin Mack, Rambo, there are absolute weapons. Philpott, there are guys that could break a game open. But I look at that defense, and knowing this, the biggest matchup is not Zach Caleros against Davis Alexander. It's Zach Caleros going up against Montreal defensive coordinator Noel Thorpe. These two guys have loved going toe-to-toe against each other from going back to Caleros' days as the starting quarterback of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And if you look from Beverett to Sankey to Adeyemi Berglund to Sutton, this defense that Montreal has can absolutely win you a game if need be. And if we look at Davis Alexander and his moxie and his talent, he's also dealing with some injuries still, too. You're looking at his elbow, the situation he has with his elbow, but also as well, and I'm also peeking over to the other side of my job, which is, you know, the Canadian men's national team, and some of the hamstring injuries those players have suffered were very much like the hamstring injury that Davis Alexander had. If he gets rushed out of the pocket by Willie Jefferson and has to use his legs a lot more, and there's a tweak there, it changes the whole dynamic of that game. Not saying it's going to happen, but when you get to the playoffs and you're going up against a team like the Winnipeg Blue Bombers that has so many savvy guys, and even a newcomer like Tony Jones at middle linebacker taking over for Adam Big Hill, this is where, beyond the quarterbacks, like, both of these teams have talent every part of the roster. But the Alouettes, they do have a Grey Cup worthy roster, because a lot of those guys won the Grey Cup in 2023. So as much as it feels like on the marquee, a East semifinal, this also has the hallmark of, like, a team. If either of these teams win this game, they should absolutely be considered Grey Cup favorites.
Matthew, I'm going to flip away from the East semifinal. I know you've done a lot of in-depth stuff across the league with a lot of the great quarterbacks in this league, and have some, you know, great relationships with them. But Saskatchewan is wondering about their quarterback's future. Last year of his contract. Do you think what happens in the playoffs will help decide for Trevor Harris what he does after this season?
Trevor Harris came up to me.
Yeah.
He came up to me after he wanted to stay in that game as much as he could. I watched him walk over to Corey Mays several times and plead his case. Trevor Harris came up to me after he was done and looked me in the eye and said, "Matt, this is the best I have ever felt in my career." And I think that's both certainly emotionally, and Trevor has long said this to me, that being the quarterback of the Saskatchewan Roughriders has always been a goal of his, and that in some respects he wished he would have done it earlier. But the situation is, he's 38, 39 years old, and now he has the opportunity with a West final, to look forward to, that he can take the Saskatchewan Roughriders to the Grey Cup. But the one thing, and Dwayne Ford pointed this out yesterday on SportsCenter, that with when you look at all the quarterbacks, and everyone has so much to play for, and there's been so much parity across the league this year, and everybody's talking about it, but the one guy who has a lot to play for, a lot of pressure on him, and he's trying to accept that pressure, is Trevor Harris. But time is undefeated, as I've already said. And the way that Trevor plays the game, if he's in a rhythm, he is near unstoppable. Him feeling the way he is, and him viewing the atmosphere around Corey Mace and what he's built as the head coach, but just the overall feeling around the franchise and the confidence that gives Trevor Harris, is absolutely something that's going to benefit the team come the West final. But when I asked him about his future, when I asked him about, just literally after he told me, "Hey, how great I feel," he was just saying, "I'm focused on right here, right now. Winning a Grey Cup as the starting quarterback of the Saskatchewan Roughriders is the only thing that Trevor Harris wants right now."
That is Matthew Schenetti. By the way, the Riders will be back at practice tomorrow, close practice tomorrow, another practice Thursday, Friday. Then they'll rest over the weekend and then ramp it up again to find out who they're going to play when they find out who they're playing in the West Final. Locker, we're going to start raising the question, to walk or not to walk Shohei Ohtani? You're saying not we're to getting... walk? Walk him. First batter up tonight, walk him.
There are situations where you need to walk the man.
Every situation you need to walk the man.
I don't know about
bases
that.
Loaded, by walk in a run. Don't care. Better than a grand slam.
Dodger Stadium this year in the playoffs, he's 483.
With what, like 5 or 6 home runs or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Walk him. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Tuesday. Is it Tuesday today?
I'm awake now. I don't know what day it is, but that got me going.
Pretty sure it's Tuesday today.
Little Pantera.
As the Jays and the Dodgers had a marathon 18 innings last night.
His payoff pitch. Hit high, center and deep. Varsho back, warning track, wall, it is gone. The Dodgers go nuts on the field as Freeman wins the 18-inning marathon with a solo homer.
Yes, that's how it ended last night.
I love the fact that you can watch or listen to the games on CGME and CKOM now as well. If you can't get in front of a TV or you're running the kids around or doing something, you got that backup.
Absolutely. I was thinking we were going to be listening to, I thought if the staff at Boston Pizza needed
kicked
to
us out.
Get out of there, I'd be listening on the way home. But they stayed. Shout out to them. Staying up past close as we wash with a handful of...
I like that spot. That's a great little spot.
That's the Starlight Vic East location in Regina where we were watching that marathon. But right now, I'm telling you, if I'm John Schneider tonight, Shohei Ohtani comes to the plate. He's due first up in the bottom half of the first inning. Shane Bieber, he's not throwing one darn ball to Shohei Ohtani. Take your base, Shohei. Intentional walk after intentional walk after intentional walk. That's my plan for Shohei Ohtani tonight. Truth or trash?
I'm here to reveal the nasty truth.
I would roast you, but my mom said I'm not allowed to burn trash.
Lie detector test determined you are telling the truth.
I'm the trash man.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
Truth or Trash Tuesday.
Each and every Tuesday, play a little game called Truth or Trash. That's my thought. Just walk
him
the man.
Every time. You're
just
walking
walk
him.
Walk the man.
Doesn't matter. Up 10. Walk him.
Do I need to remind you what he did in his first 4 at-bats last night?
Scherzer's home with an 0-1. Ohtani rips it down the line. It is a fair ball. And it's a double for Ohtani to start this game. Comes back in. It's lifted to deep right field. Towards the corner. Goodbye! Ohtani goes deep. Who fires a payoff. A breaking ball is drilled to left center field. Slicing towards the gap. Ohtani on a center cut fastball. Fourth one. Ohtani ties it. Shohei.
That tied it.
5-5.
Yeah, that was his first 4 at bats.
Then they walked
last night.
Tim 4.
Well,
intentional walks. And
here's his final 5 at bats.
At least I thought they were. I thought I saw the sign of 4 fingers.
There it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's Ohtani, and he might as well walk on down there to first.
Yep.
Took his practice swing. Save your energy, Shohei. They tell him.
I tell you what, though. I mean, this is the only play, obviously, but Mookie Betts, he got to hit his last time, and you know, on the day that he won the Roberto Clemente Award or got the handed out.
It's nice that Ohtani goes through the motions and actually walks into the batter's box. Tyler Heineman is hitting him on the back.
I say, hey, buddy, you know the drill.
Yeah, you know the drill. You're going to first.
Your gear off. I think he needs a cleaner like process before he bats because he's like stands there and taking this off. Anyway.
1-877-332-8255. Are you walking Shohei Ohtani tonight? Are you throwing to him? Hey, let's go. Man or mouse?
I'm throwing to him. You have to.
No.
He's pitching tonight. That came in earlier. I think it was Sean. You got to keep him busy. I mean, listen, I know he's a robot. I don't agree with you in that you'll rattle him if he steps up to the top of the first and you walk him. I don't think he cares. I don't think that's doing anything to impact that man's psyche. I think he's a stone cold killer. We are getting some texts. Tim Davidson, P.S. Walk Ohtani even when the bases are loaded.
So, yep, bingo. Nailed it. You are correct, sir. You might think I'm nuts, but okay, let me prep. If it is 5-4 and the Blue Jays are leading, you're not going to walk in the tying run or walk in the go-ahead run. But
what, hold on.
If it's early in the game and it's 0-0,
you said
0-0 and it's, well, you're not going to give the other team the lead. If it's 0-0 and it's the third inning,
what if he hits a grand slam?
Walk him and make it 1-0. Fine. You still have
to. Then it's 8-5.
If it's the bottom of the ninth, you're not walking Ohtani to give up the lead. If it's the eighth inning, you're not walking Ohtani to give up the lead. But in the third inning, it's better than 4-0 for Shohei Ohtani. 1-877-332. First batter up tonight is Shohei Ohtani. Do you walk him? As people are pointing out, they should have walked him last night. They pitched to him and they paid the piper. And this is what led to a back and forth with the media last night with John Schneider.
We're trying to pitch around him. You know what I mean? And you trust Sir Anthony to make pitches to do that. And sometimes for pitchers, it's hard to do that. You know, when you're kind of trying to throw a ball and didn't put it where he wanted to put it. But, you know, he had a great game. He's a great player. But I think, you know, after that, you just kind of take the bat out of his hands.
And not to give away secrets, but this is pretty much what we should expect going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that is correct. It was interesting, though, Locker. Dave Roberts was asked about all the intentional walks with Shohei Ohtani last night. And I was a little bit surprised by his answer.
I get it. You know, he's the best player on the planet. And, you know, he was on the heels of a huge offensive night. And, you know, John smelled that and wasn't going to let Shohei beat him at all, obviously. And even when nobody's on base and putting him on to make the other guys beat him and respect it. And fortunately, we have other guys behind Shohei that can still do some things. And, yeah, I mean, a hard-fought game.
Not that I'm trying to give you any more ammo for your argument, but last night, Shohei Ohtani was up at the plate 9 times. He got on base 9 times or homered every time he was on base.
Double homer, 4 straight intentional walks, and then Brandon Little threw 4 straight balls, and
yeah,
away he went to first base.
Cameron texted us. He goes, I hate the idea of walking Ohtani moving forward. Now you're giving up an automatic base runner and allowing the rest of the lineup more chances at the plate, which is always an advantage. So Cameron is thinking about overall, you're just creating more opportunities for the Dodgers.
After the seventh, wasn't it working?
Yeah.
How many runs did they give up?
Did it just
how many
extend the inevitable, though?
One, and it was a solo shot from Freddie Freeman.
And Freddie Freeman goes, and he said it last night, he said, that was not my win, because people were trying to give him credit for winning the game. He goes, that was an Ohtani win. And it was. When you take a look at what he accomplished last night, we still don't know if that's some kind of a, you think it might be a baseball record, the 9 times up, 9 times on. That has to be some kind of a record. I tried to find that today, and
it's got to be.
Came up a little bit short.
Baseball's been around a long time, but I don't know how many guys have been up and on all 9, every 9 for 9.
Like in maybe, a World Series.
Maybe in that 30-inning game back in the, what was that? One guy was on 9 times, but did he make it every single time? I'm not sure he did. 1-877-332-8255. But here comes the other option. Vic Fangio of the Philadelphia Eagles said this exact same thing. Justin Blackwell of Saskatchewan Afternoon. There is a much more popular answer that is coming in, Locker, other than intentional walk, Shohei Ohtani. That answer is plunk him. Throw at him. 98 to the ribs. You're not trying to win a friendship. You're trying to win a championship. Hit the man. That's like five techs have come in. Plunk them. Throw at them.
I'm against that.
Let's go. But beware, if you throw at Ohtani, there's about 10 guys on that Dodger bench who have nothing to worry about. They aren't playing. They're not on the World Series roster. So what if I'm suspended for the first 10 games of next year? Shane Bieber's getting punched in the mouth, and he's not finishing that game. If I'm a member of the Dodgers and you throw at Ohtani, you're done. I would charge the mound, and I'd be throwing hands. I'd be kicked out of baseball for a year if you threw at Ohtani. If I was a member of the Dodgers, some bench warmer who's not on the World Series roster, you'd have to throw me in prison to keep you off if you threw at Ohtani tonight. 100%.
And we got Shane Bieber tonight for Game 4. We got Trey Savage for Game 5. I think the guy you're talking about played the other night, Scherzer. He's the guy that beans Ohtani.
Yeah, he'd be the guy, but
just
Mark saying hit him in the knees. Doug said, I'm giving Ohtani a 98-mile-an-hour fastball to the ribs in his first at-bat. Like, plunk him in the hand. Springer keeps getting it, giving right back at him. 1-877-332-8255.
Four times in this playoffs. So it happens. I don't think any of them were intentional, though.
Do you agree with me? If they throw at Ohtani, it's going to be...
It would get ugly.
It would really, be a really, gong show.
It would get ugly really quick. Yeah, I agree.
If there's... You can throw at a player, everyone, but if they... First inning, high, hard one to Ohtani...
The interesting thing is...
You're trying to take out my pitcher? You better get Shane Bieber off the field and have the whole team around him because someone will try to hurt him.
Well, the interesting thing about this, it hasn't happened in the playoffs, but in the regular season this year, and I'm trying to remember the game, was it might have been against Philly. Someone beamed Ohtani, and he immediately went to his bench. Do you remember this?
Yes.
He was like, whoa.
No, we're good.
Because he knew... What you're saying, there's four or five guys on the bench that are ready to charge the mound. And he dropped his bat, turned around, and went right to his bench and put his hands up and said, nope, I'm good. Don't worry about it. It's still, there was a ruckus, but it, you know, no one was throwing hands.
1-877-332-8255. Steve brings up a good point. If you pluck Ohtani, the fans might charge the mound in Los Angeles. Never thought of that one.
That's a good point.
Taylor in Saskatoon, how do you handle Shohei Ohtani?
I mean, I don't know. I don't get the big bucks to figure it out. But what I think I would do is, look at Springer. The exact same thing happened with Springer. Same thing with the Mariners. Now the guy's injured. So, I mean, it's just like, I can't remember which one of you guys are saying at the beginning of it, but I mean, they're doing it to us. I mean, we're not playing for participation ribbons here. We're playing for the World Series. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do to win. That's my opinion.
Springer hit himself. Like, he's injured because he has been plunked, but he hit his own knee. That's
his knee, but the rib, he did take one in the ribs.
And yes.
That's where people are looking at last night where it's like, okay, did he...
I don't know if that, right away,
he was like, I'm done.
That didn't look intentional. Did it look intentional to you?
No.
You can usually tell. Like I said, that one where Ohtani went to the bench and said, whoa, 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 whoa. That was, they were throwing at him.
Yes.
That's,
and he didn't
you
got
to have some
his,
cojones to be
and
thrown
he didn't
at
want Ohtani. Any of his guys getting suspended.
Yeah.
Because he knew somebody might. Let's go to Terry. Terry, what are you doing? You're John Schneider. Ohtani's up to the plate. What's your decision?
Well, I'd be jerking his chain all night. I would make him put all his batting equipment on, get right in there in the batting box, then throw up the four fingers.
Oh, you want him like, you're waiting for him to get that cleat in the dirt, ready to go, and then
get all
never mind,
in
four.
Every time.
Or
they'll put a stop to that. The rest would...
They can do this. They can do this. We've seen this already. We saw it. I forget where it was.
If you step in a box, you can't call.
Yeah, you can't. there was two pitches. It was two balls, and they were like, we're done. Put them on. Because they were, well, 2-0 count. It was like, he's going to throw a meatball across the plate, and it's going to be out of the park.
I thought there was a rule you had to call it before.
You can. They've made a rule where you can, so you don't have to do this stupid catcher stand there and put his arm out like he's controlling traffic. That was ridiculous.
But if you want to intentionally walk him, you have to call it before he steps in the box. I think that's the rule. No? Am I wrong?
No, it was happening in the last series. I think it was John Schneider. There was a 2-0 count, and he was like, no, we're done. Good. He can go to first now. 1-877-332-8255. There are those who want an intentional walk rule that you can only have so many. What would you do with Ohtani? Give us a call here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.